study on victories in the Bible. And last time, we looked at having victory over apathy. If you remember, the axe head going into the river and the young man coming up to Elijah. And we saw how sometimes within the church we can become apathetic. Apathy being a lack of interest. And it's frightening that, previous to what we've gone through this year, the amount of apathy that has been seen in so-called Christendom. You know, the amount of apathy towards church, apathy towards the things of God, apathy towards Bible reading, towards praying. And we saw how, even in instances like we've gone through right now, how that it has the opportunity to reinvigorate the church, has the opportunity to galvanize believers and draw them closer to the Lord. So last time we looked at having victory over apathy. This week I want to look at having victory over, and I never know if it's lethargy or lethargy. Lethargy, lethargy. Okay. So either it was funny in the cantata, watching John singing on the road to Emmaus, unbeknownst to either, because we always had that argument in choir whether it was either or either. So we've got some of the church saying lethargy, we've got some of the church saying lethargy. But you know what I mean. It is a lack of energy. So if apathy is a lack of interest, lethargy is a lack of energy. And I'm sure there have been times in this past year where you've struggled with a bit of lethargy or lethargy. There have been times where you have felt like, oh, just can't be bothered. It seems to be sometimes the less you do, the less you want to do. When we are active, it kind of encourages us to be active. The more we do, the more we want to do. We tend to have that energy to do it. But there can be instances where we are lulled into that lethargy, that, oh, I don't feel like doing anything today. And then when you get into that rut physically, it's quite hard to get out of it. To say, right, come on, let's get going. You know, the amount of times I've woken up in the morning and then been like, at like 8 o'clock in the morning, think I'm ready for bed again. What is going on? But sometimes we can feel like that spiritually. We can go through a battle and we can think to ourselves, I just can't do this anymore. I just don't have the energy to keep going. Sometimes in our physical lives, we can become lethargic towards things. That is a danger when it comes to being lethargic in our spiritual lives, where we lose our oomph, where the flame starts to diminish, where our fire starts to go out, where we take our eyes off the ball, as it were, where we take our focus off the Lord Jesus Christ, and we begin to tire spiritually. It was a photographer for a national magazine was assigned to get photos of a great forest fire. And smoke at the scene had hampered him, and he asked his home office if he could hire a plane to fly over the forest fire and get the pictures that he needed. So arrangements were made, and he rushed to the airport where the plane would be waiting. So he runs out onto the runway, and there the plane was with the engines going, and the pilot sat in the cockpit. So he jumps into the plane and says to the pilot, go, 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 there's a deadline to meet. So off they go. The pilot swung the plane into the wind, and soon they were in the air. And the photographer said, fly over the north side of the fire. Make 3 or 4 low-level passes. Why? Asked the pilot. Because I'm going to take pictures, cried the photographer. I'm a photographer. Photographers take pictures. After a pause, the pilot said, you mean you're not the instructor? That's exactly how life appears sometimes. It feels like somebody else is flying our plane. It feels like we're in no control whatsoever. And sometimes our oomph can just be gone spiritually. Sometimes we can get to the point where we feel like, I don't even want to pick up my weapon. I just can't even get the energy to keep going. Sometimes from our vantage point, It seems like our lives get into more messes than we can figure out. It seems like spiritually we get into more battles than we care to face. But according to the Bible, God's people are continuously victorious people. That's what the Bible says. That's not my opinion. That's not a doctrinal statement of the church. That is Bible. God's people are victorious people. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Paul says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to proclaim this truth. And Father, I pray that if there's somebody here tonight who is spiritually lethargic, if there is somebody here tonight whose spiritual oomph has gone, then I pray that we would recognize that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Help us to recognize the fact that we can have the victory over lethargy, even when we don't feel like we can even pick up our spiritual weapon. So, Father, would you help us to recognize tonight that we are more than just conquerors. And Father, we'd be mindful to give you all the glory for it. Whatever the need is here tonight, may that need be met. As your word is proclaimed, we ask and proclaim that promise that it would not return void, but it would achieve its purpose tonight to the heart that it's meant to speak to. And we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. According to this verse, we are told that God's children are more than conquerors. In spite of how things appear now, in spite of what's going on in the world, in spite of what's going on in your life, in spite of what you are facing right now, you may feel completely and utterly spent. You may feel completely and utterly out of control, like somebody else is flying you a plane, like you have no control in your direction, like you have no control in your destiny, as it were, that you just cannot face another fight. But I want you to know tonight, according to the Bible, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. We're more than conquerors. And we may not feel like that today. What kind of a conqueror feels like his get up and go has got up and gone? What type of a conqueror feels like he can't even get out of his pajamas to put on the armor of God in the day? What type of conqueror is that? But the Bible says, as a child of God, you're more than just a conqueror. Regardless of how you feel tonight, this verse gives us hope. This verse gives us the encouragement that we need when we feel discouraged. This verse gives us the encouragement when we feel defeated. This verse gives us the victory. When we feel overwhelmed, this verse just comforts our hearts because we are more than conquerors. We see the reality of our victory. The reality of our victory. Paul uses the phrase more than conquerors. And this word only appears here in the New Testament, and it refers to those who gain a surpassing victory. It means to be completely victorious, to carry away an overwhelming victory. It means basically a super conqueror, because you're more than just a conqueror. You know, everything today is super size, an XL. It's not just a normal size. It's supersized. You know, that was a big thing at one time when in the fast food chain. It just wasn't a normal size meal. It was a supersized meal, which was what? It was bigger than what the normal meal was. You know, everything is in bigger packages today, extra. You know, they want to get you to buy the extra large stuff. Well, we're more than conquerors, supersized, extra large, not just a plain old simple conqueror. We're more than a conqueror. We are super conquerors. That's what the Bible says. But that's not always how we feel. We don't always feel like more than conquerors. We feel as if we can just barely make it to being a conqueror. We feel like we're not quite there. We're not quite victorious. We're not wooden spoon, but we're not grandstand. We're not quite, you know, we're middle of the table. That's how we feel. We don't feel like Italy. We don't necessarily feel like Wales. We feel more like Scotland or Ireland. Somewhere in the middle, even though England were fourth. But by the by, fifth, happy days. The reality of our victories, we don't always feel like conquerors. But we're more than conquerors. Because that's what the scripture says. And here when Paul says we are more than conquerors, he uses a tense which is a present tense, an active situation. In other words, he is saying that the Christian keeps on winning victory after victory after victory. He is saying that even when all of life is arrayed against us, we are still super conquerors. Regardless of how things feel or look to us, regardless of how our energy levels have gone spiritually, regardless of how we feel like we are literally spiritually walking through treacle. You ever had that dream where you can't run? Yeah, you ever had that? Somebody's chasing you and your legs are just not working and either you're trying to struggle to run. Well, we feel like that spiritually sometimes. We feel like the devil's given us like a 10-yard start, but he's stacked the odds against us because we're running through quicksand or something and our legs just spiritually won't work. We don't feel like we can get ahead of it. You know, the amount of times we've seen people suffer one trial after another, and they just can't quite seem to get the victory in one area of their lives before another battle comes. And that can quite easily cause us to lose our energy. That can cause us to be depleted spiritually. So how can we be more than conquerors then? Well, according to the scripture, God always causes us to triumph. Now, thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. God has already given us the victory, but thanks be to God, 1 Corinthians 15:57, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer should simply be that God would help us to live out that victory every day in spite of how things look for us, in spite of how we feel, because we don't always feel like conquerors. We certainly don't feel like super conquerors most of the time. So that's the reality of our victory. But what about the realm of our victory? Paul says we are more than conquerors in all these things. In all these things, most of us have the idea that victory occurs when we are living free from trouble. That we would say, oh, that's when I got victory in my life, when all troubles have gone away, when life is plain sailing, when we're just simply coasting through our Christian walk, that's walking in victory. Well, let me tell you something. If you never have a battle, you will never know what a victory feels like. It's the same as if you don't ever play the game. You won't ever know what winning feels like. In spite of everything, in spite of the afflictions and heartaches, in spite of everything that the devil can throw at us, we can be more than conquerors. These things that Paul is referring to is found in verse 33 through to verse 35. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors in spite of those who challenge us. We are victorious. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? We are more than conquerors even when our relationship with the Lord is challenged. How many times has somebody come up to us and said, oh, where's you with God now? How many times has somebody said to us, what is the point in knowing Christ as your Savior? What is the point in going to church? You know, why would you do that? There's no point to it. And the people challenge our walk with the Lord all the time. Why would you waste your time? Why would you waste your energy? Why would you waste your effort? Can I say this, that nothing is ever going to change my mind about who Christ is, Nothing is ever going to change my mind about who I serve. Because there's nothing that the world has to offer that comes anywhere close to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. Nothing. We are more than conquerors in spite of those who condemn us. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? We are victorious over those who would declare us unworthy before the Lord. How many times have you heard the accusation? Call yourself a Christian. We are more than conquerors, even over those that would condemn us. Because when Christ died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for us, listen, I'm not belittling how we ought to live our lives, because I believe that we ought to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. But there is nothing that we can do that can separate us from God's love. There is nothing that we can do that would lose our salvation. We will lose and affect our fellowship with God. But when Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to save us, no one can undo that. Not even the devil can undo that. We are more than conquerors in spite of those who confound us. In verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The world and the devil have ever been the enemies of the children of God, and the attacks are constant. And do you know when those attacks feel at their height is when we are at our lowest. And that's when the questions start to creep into our minds. When our energy levels are low, when we are lethargic, when we feel like we can't go on, when spiritually we don't want to get out of our pajamas and put our armor of God on, when we're feeling at a low point in our lives, it is at that moment that the devil comes alongside us and just puts those thoughts into our minds. Yea, hath God said, are you really saved? Are you really a child of God? Have you really made the right decision? Are you sure God loves you? If God was such a loving God, why would you be going through this? Why would you be feeling this way? Why are you suffering like you are? Why are you feeling the way you are? When our energy levels are low, it's hard. You know, what's the first thing they do when, you know, when you look at the scripture, when they attack the city, they lock the city in. They starved them. They got them weak. They got them to a point where they would literally do anything to surrender. And that's what the devil tries to do to us. He wants us to be lethargic. He wants our energy levels to go. He wants us to have a lack of energy when it comes to our spiritual walk with the Lord. But we are more than conquerors, even when the devil comes up and says, God really love a sinner like you? Yeah, he does. Because he gave his life for me upon Calvary. And he promised, as a child of God, that he would never let me go. And that he would never leave me and never forsake me. And it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the devil says. And it doesn't matter what our own flesh says. Nothing can separate this from the love of God. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, not even tribulation. That word tribulation means to be squeezed or to feel pressure. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have got an older sibling? Anyone got an older sibling? Okay. Did your older sibling ever do this to you? Did they ever pin you down on the ground? Put their knees on your arms were there? Yeah, you know, my brother used to do it to me all the time. Ah, but it wouldn't melt in his mouth. Ah, don't say anything about your brother. He's awesome. Do you know what he used to do to me? He used to pin me to the ground. And I wouldn't say what he did then, because Sarah's got a weak stomach. But it used to involve. And then he'd say, beg for mercy. And I'd go, mercy, mercy. And then he'd turn around and say, ha, 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 that means thank you in French. But the one thing he used to do then was put all of his weight on. He's 7 years older than me. Yeah. And he, like, played rugby for the sixth form when he was in, like, form 3. He's a big boy, and he used to put all of his weight on me. I can't hear you.
I can't breathe.
It just felt like you're like, it's not funny, I was traumatized. No wonder I was such a troubled teen and rebelled. But as comical as that seems, sometimes we feel like the devil is just squeezing the absolute life out of us to the point where we're like, I can't even do anything. And that's what tribulation means. It means to be squeezed, to feel the pressure. Every single one of us feels that pressure at some point in our lives. Every single one of us at some point in our spiritual walk feels like we are being squeezed, so that literally the life is being squeezed out of us. But the Lord Jesus Christ said that would happen. In this world, we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There will be times as believers we will be squeezed. There will be times as believers where we feel like we just simply can't take another breath. We get to that point where as soon as we get enough breath in, we're squeezed again. But in spite of that, we can still be more than conquerors. Man that is born of woman, Job says, is a few days and full of trouble. Tribulation is a fact of life for the believer. But can tribulation separate us from the love of Christ when we feel like we're having the spiritual life squeezed out of us? No. Can distress? That literally means to go into a narrow place, to be hemmed in. You ever been stuck anywhere? Anybody ever got their head stuck through the railings or something? Remember that? You ever got to, the one thing I just can't even watch it on TV is potholing. Anybody who does that, does anybody do that before I say anything derogatory, Clive? Okay. I think it's a really commendable sport. You do potholing. You did pot. Oh, I think you're nuts. The two of you. It just freaks me out when I watch people doing it. Because you see them going through these narrow places, and I'm just like, what if you get stuck? That's like, you know, there's no putting your hand up then. You can't even put your hand up. There's no like saying, I need a bit of help there. Talk about being hemmed in. You know, and sometimes we feel like that spiritually. We literally feel like there's nowhere to go. I don't know what to do. And I've tried everything. And, you know, I just feel like I'm being pressed into this one particular place. And I just don't know what to do. But not even that distress, not even being squeezed into that narrow place, can separate us from the love of God. Not persecution, not suffering any kind of infliction because of our relationship with the Lord, because of our love for the Lord, because of our walk with the Lord. Not famine, whether there's a lack of necessary resources or nakedness, to be in a state of destitution or peril or sword. We are more than conquerors, not by avoiding those things, but by going through those things with the Lord Jesus Christ by our side. We're more than conquerors. Our pain and our suffering is real, but God has a purpose. Listen, you know, I don't know what the purpose to all of this past year has been. And there's plenty of speculation, and we can, you know, we can come up with all kinds of theories of why and what's going on and what is going to play out. But guess what? We don't know. We don't know. But God knows the purpose behind all of this. And there's been moments where spiritually the temptation has been to be a bit lethargic. But we need to recognize the fact that we're super conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter what the world is doing. It doesn't matter what the world's agenda is. I could care less about the world's agenda. What I care about is God's agenda. And I know God is in control. And I know that at a certain point in time, the Lord Jesus Christ will return for his church. The Lord Jesus Christ will come back and call us home to be with himself. That God will have the final say. That God will restore Israel to the land. That God will judge Satan. That God will redeem the land. That God will bring Israel back to himself so that they will say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And they look on him whom they pierce. And God will bring about the prophecies in his book to fruition 100%. That he will fulfill the covenants that he's made to his people, that he will have the final word, and guess what? We'll be okay. We'll be all right. Why? Not because somebody said it on the internet, but because God said it in his word. We're more than conquerors. Have you ever wondered why these difficulties come into our lives? Because he's refining us. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whether people believe it or not, Christ will appear. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are being refined as his children. As a goldsmith heats the ore to remove the impurities, God uses trials and afflictions to remove the impurities out of our lives. And that's why we go through difficulties. Not because God is vindictive, not because God thinks, all right, this is really going to mess up so-and-so's day today. God doesn't work like that. God doesn't operate like that. But we go through difficulties so we can be refined. We go through difficulties so that the dross can be removed from our lives. We go through difficulties so God can prove himself to us time and time and time again. He's refining us. He's remaking us. When he finishes with us, we'll be less like ourselves and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are Christians, which means we are to be Christ-like. But we are in these human bodies. And unfortunately, too often, the human side of us, the flesh side of us, takes precedent over the spiritual side of us. And we're in that constant battle between the spirit and the flesh all the time. But God is making us into the image of his Son, and one day we will be like him perfectly. When corruption will put on incorruption, when mortality will put on immortality, when we are finally like him. But until then, God is just working on us all the time. You know, how many of you ever been to a museum, a Cardiff Museum, or, you know, I suppose that's like a Tesco Value version of what the museums they got up in London, but you ever been to a museum and you see some of these statues and you think, how did somebody do that with like a hammer and chisel? You know, I can't even draw the curtains. And you think when you see some of these artistries, and how did somebody look at a block of marble and think, yeah, I can, you know, I can create that statue of a perfect form of a human being. But what do they do when they're making that image? When they chip away at the marble block? Because they just start off with a big marble block. So how do they end up then with a statue? They simply chip away the parts of the marble that they don't need. And that's all God does with us. When we go through difficulties, he just he's just chipping away the stuff that is not needed, because he's working on us continuously for us to be made in the image of his Son. God is working in us to bring us to the place where life ceases to be about us and it is all about him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 7.
Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The process is painful, but necessary. If Christ is to be glorified in us, we remember that God gets more glory from our lives when we are being purified than when we're allowed to live lives of ease. What glory would we bring to God if everything was just plain sailing? What glory would we bring to God if nothing ever went wrong in our lives? What glory would we bring to God if there was never one single battle to face? We wouldn't know what victory felt like. We wouldn't know what victory tasted like. We wouldn't know to be able to give any glory to God because everything was just perfectly smooth. Who would we give glory to then? Now we could say it's all our doing. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Psalm 103, verse 14. When we are most likely to seek the Lord, when we are most likely to pray more, when we are most likely to study the scripture more, is when the heat is on, is when we're confined, when we're in difficulties, when we're in distress, when we're in tribulation, when we feel like our backs are against the wall, when we feel like we don't know which way to turn. That's the time that we pray, that we study, that we seek God's face, where we seek God's will, where we ask God for help, where we ask God to just give us the strength we need for the victory that is so desperately needed in our lives. Just as it takes time, heat and pressure, to turn coal into diamonds, it takes the same circumstances to transform us that are just dust, just a bit of carbon and some water. It takes pressure to turn us into the jewels of God that we need to be. And then finally, that doesn't say realm, that says reason. The reason for our victory. If we go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, Paul says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Simply put, that's the reason for our victory, is because of the love of God. What do we deserve? When you think about it, all we deserve is death. Ezekiel says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Paul said in Romans that the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. We deserve death because of sin. But then you look at the nature of God's love. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God says to call unto him. And he proved his love, he demonstrated his love, as we looked at this morning, John 3:16, Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God for his children is so deep, is so far-reaching, is so vast, that he wants us to know that nothing can separate us from that love. It doesn't matter how difficult life is. It doesn't matter how hard the battle is. It doesn't matter how long the battle is. It doesn't matter how difficult our circumstances are. Nothing separates us from God's love. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That sums up the depth, breadth, height, and length of God's love. None of those things can separate us from God's love. That word separate means to divide, to put asunder, to divorce, to put away. When you are a child of God, not even death can separate you from that love. If you're not a child of God, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then that's exactly what will happen. death and separation. The wages of sin is death, divorce, separation, departure. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Nothing, verse 39, shall be able. The word able there means to have power. None of the things people fear so much has power to divide us from God's love. When we go through these things, we need to have assurance in our heart that the pains and sorrows and afflictions in our lives are evidence of God's love for us. Not evidence of rejection. Paul knew his share of trials and the torments of life. When you look at what Paul went through, when you look at what Paul faced, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 to 28, you see the type of things that Paul went through. He said in verse 23 of 2 Corinthians 11, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." In spite of all that, in spite of all that Paul faced, he said that he was persuaded. I am persuaded. That phrase is in the perfect tense. It means that Paul stands convinced and nothing can change his mind. Let me ask you this question. How easily is your mind changed? How many times have you had a particular viewpoint on a subject and that's exactly where you're going to stand upon it and somebody's come up and has just simply changed your mind? Yeah, it happens to me all the time. I'm convinced I'm not going to spend money in Cardiff. That's my decision. How easily my mind has changed. Joe comes alongside me and says, "Yea, hath Darren said." My mind has changed. Happy wife, happy life. But we do it all the time. Sometimes we can be a bit fickle and, you know, we just kind of go with, this crowd is going in this direction, oh, we'll go along with that, and then this crowd is going over there, oh, we'll go along with that, and this crowd is saying something else, and it's easy for our minds to be changed. But Paul said, it doesn't matter what I've gone through, what I faced, the battles I faced, the difficulties I faced, everything I've gone through, I'm persuaded. Nothing is going to change my mind. Nothing is going to convince me otherwise that God doesn't love me. I'm persuaded. We are more than conquerors. We don't always feel like it. Sometimes we feel like our energy levels are completely and utterly depleted. And we don't feel like conquerors, let alone super conquerors. But the victory is ours in every battle we face. Now, that doesn't mean the victory means the circumstance goes away and everything suddenly becomes a bed of roses. It simply means that God proves and demonstrates his love, his mercy, his grace, his strength for us in the battle, not in spite of the battle. We are more than conquerors, and we can have the victory even when we feel like our get up and go has got up and gone. So what do we do with this information? We ask God to give us the ability to live like super conquerors, to give us the ability to live like more than conquerors every single day. Because that's what he said we are. We don't always feel like it. We don't always feel like we can live up to that kind of level of spirituality. But that's what we are. We're more than conquerors. Not because of our strength, not because of who we are, but because of who we serve. Nothing will ever separate us. If you are a child of God, if you were saved, if you were born again and blood bought by the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Here's the thing. As believers in Christ, we need to start living victorious Christian lives so that the world around us doesn't see somebody that is scared by the events going on, but they see somebody who is more than a conqueror. Not because of, you know, medical science, not because of any promises made by politicians. We are more than conquerors because of what God's word says. And the victory is already ours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together tonight and for the opportunity to come around your word. Father, I pray that whatever the need is here today, maybe there is somebody that is so lethargic in their spiritual walk. Maybe there is somebody here tonight who feels like they simply cannot put the armor of God on. They just don't have the energy to do it. They just don't have the strength anymore to keep going. And Father, I pray that you'd help them to recognize how much of a conqueror they are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in those times where we feel like we are pressed in and that we are in a tight space, where we are in a battle that we simply cannot win, pray that you'd help us to recognize that you are in control, that your strength is available to us, that the victory is already ours in spite of the circumstances we find ourselves in. So, Father, would you help us today to live that life of a conqueror? Help us to be mindful that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that no matter what this world throws at us, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask the last group to come up as we sing our last hymn together.
Grace to be have made known, no one. Father, it has been good to be in thy house again this night, Lord. And if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, then our victory is already won. It was won nigh on 2,000 years ago on that cross at Calvary, when our dear Saviour shed his precious blood for us, was buried and rose again that third day. Lord, we do thank you for that victory. And Lord, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We can go forward rejoicing and proclaim in the name of Jesus. And whatever this world can throw at us, we have a wonderful victor in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done for us. And we pray as we go our separate ways now that you will bless us, that you will go with us and bring us back again at the appointed time, where once again we can praise and magnify thy holy and precious name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.